When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I'm Chris Kofsky with your Sports Grid News Update. You want the edge? Get on the grid. We start in the NBA where the Hawks dominated the Knicks 105-94 to take a 2-1 series lead. The Hawks covered the 4.5-point spread as home favorites, and the under 211.5 is a winner. 21 points and 14 assists on the night for Trae Young. 30 points for Derrick Rose in the loss. The Celtics get a big win against the Nets, 125-119. Boston wins as home dogs, and the over 227 is a winner. 50 points for Jason Tatum in the win. He becomes the third youngest player in NBA history to score 50 points in a playoff game. And in the nightcap, the Clippers, as 2.5-point road favorites, beat the Mavericks 118-108. The over 219 is a winner. The Mavs still lead the series 2-1. And we got four games going down today. First, at 1:40 p.m. Eastern time, the Bucks look to sweep the Heat in Miami. Bucks 4.5-point favorites, 220.5 is the total. Some news, though, for the Bucks yesterday. Starting guard Dante DiVincenzo missed the remainder of the playoffs as he has a torn ligament in his left ankle. At 4:10, game four between the Blazers and the Nuggets. Blazers 4.5-point home favorites, 227.5 is the total. Denver leads the series 2-1. At 7:10 p.m. Eastern time from the nation's capital, the Wizards will look to avoid the sweep as they take on the Sixers. Wizards 6.5-point home dogs, 228.6 the total. Brian Windhorst reported Russell Westbrook did not practice on Friday, and he's a game-time decision for the game versus Philly with an ankle injury. And in the nightcap, game three between the Jazz and the Grizzlies. Jazz 5.5-point road favorites, 224.5 is the total. That series tied up a game apiece. And we close out on the ice, the best two words in pro sports, game seven. And we had that last night between the Wild and the Golden Knights as Vegas wins 6-2 as minus 200 favorites, and the over 5 goals hits as the Knights win the series. They will now play the Avalanche in the second round. And make sure you're watching Pharrell Coast to Coast every weekday starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on Sports Grid.
Welcome in, everybody, to Betting Around the Rim right here on Sports Grid and all Sports Grid platforms, as well, of course, as MSG Plus. We're excited to have you in. Whew, the NBA playoffs. A lot to get to. I'm Kevin Walsh, stepping in for Keith Irizarry. A pleasure, an honor to jump in here again on the heels of the NBA postseason truly, truly ramping up. I had the opportunity to hang out with you here on the show last week on the first day of the NBA playoffs, and so much has transpired since then. We're going to get to it all here, of course, on Betting Around the Rim. Where to start? There's so many different options. Again, there's so many different storylines, but we're here on MSG, and MSG has arguably been the MVP of these playoffs. The crowd at these home Knick playoff games, I don't know if I really ever remember anything quite like this. Like, you leave these games, and it's who had the best performance. Trae Young, Derrick Rose, Alec Burks, just the crowd, the atmosphere. It is a reminder of what we have missed out on during sports during this pandemic. And we understand why we had to miss out on it, for safety, doing the right stuff. But what an absolute treat it has been to watch these fans back and supporting their home teams in their home buildings, giving them that boost. And the Knicks fans have been the clear best of the bunch. The pure passion that you can feel through your TV screen if you're not in attendance. It's passion that is not only in that building, it's carried over to the streets. I want to play a clip for people to get an idea of what it looks like outside of Madison Square Garden when the Knicks get their first postseason victory in quite some time. Take a look at this. It's just, they're not going home. We'll be right back here. Game five. Just let us back in. That atmosphere has been so greatly missed. It makes everything feel more important. And that's a great thing. Now, I know there's been some unfortunate incidents involving some fans to start these NBA playoffs. Those are unacceptable. And you at home know that. Those people... there's no room for that. There's no, be better. There's no be better. These arenas have acted swiftly. They've banned them, and that's exactly what they should do. Because there is no room for that. One, it is far too disrespectful, but let's not ruin something that we have missed for so long, which is having these fans back in the arena. Because again, even in Philadelphia, right? Joel Embiid, who is throughout his entire career as a member of the Philadelphia 76ers, fed off of that crowd, often, you know, waving them on, letting them know, bring it more, bring it more, bring it more. You saw Joel Embiid, again, getting into it, feeding off of that crowd energy that is so important to a team. I want to welcome the radio audience in as well, listening on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Of course, all those watching across all Sports Grid platforms and MSG Plus, talking about the impact of fans back in the building. You saw Joel Embiid get into it. Let's listen to what JoJo had to say about feeding off of that crowd.
And it's fun. You know, I miss the crowd. You know, I mentioned that in the past. You know, DX is, you know, my favorite. You know, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, you know, my favorite wrestlers. And obviously the group, you know, was also my favorite. And, you know, that's what they used to do. And, you know, and also with the West Side of the N1, you know, it just makes sense to combine the both of them and, you know, just enjoy myself. But at the end of the day, I miss the crowd. You know, I like when they get loud because it doesn't only help me, he also helped the whole team.
And you hear from Joel Embiid there, and a credit to John Clark for that video. But side note, he says DX, I get it, it's DX in my heart. It'll always be a tribute to the Young Bucks there. But again, Embiid feeding off of that crowd, and this is also something that is very important for us bettors, adjusting to true home court advantage. Last year, during the NBA playoffs in the bubble, the numbers that you would be betting on Game 1 and Game 2 would be the same in Game 3 and Game 4. Maybe slight adjustments. You think one team has an edge over the other. But that switch, thanks to having home court advantage, was not there. Game number 2, the Milwaukee Bucks laid about 5 points to the Miami Heat. They went back to Miami, about a pick 'em, -1.5 there on Milwaukee. Obviously, it didn't help Miami very much. What about a team like the Boston Celtics? Looked like they were going to be swept out of the playoffs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Relative ease by the Brooklyn Nets. Return home to Boston. And all of a sudden, things change. A building that they're averaging almost 125 points per game in over their last seven games. A building which Jason Tatum just keeps scoring 50 in, incredibly. Home court advantage is important, and that's a readjustment, I think, for bettors here in playoff basketball. Speaking of those Brooklyn Nets, a postseason loss. In the first round, no less, the people are stunned. Is it an overreaction? Is there something to worry about? We'll discuss next here on Betting Around the Rim. We'll be right back.
In-game live wagering is something that is clearly growing. On In-game Live, you're interacting with the hosts in real time, and the real time data is changing constantly. With our edge analysis, it's only going to become a more vital part to the betting experience. Even if our hosts aren't talking about it at that time, you'll see odds constantly refreshing, and we're explaining why it's changing to help you, the bettor, see what we're seeing. I truly believe that the analysis and the data, it's going to be better, it's going to be more precise, and it gives us the ability to pivot so quickly. We're giving you close to 50 hours a week of in-game live. It is the perfect second screen experience to get the winning edge while you are watching live sports. I'm Greg Sussman, and if you want the winning edge, you need to be watching in-game live, only on SportsGrid.
Pharrell. Everybody acts like the Lakers have won four championships in a row, like they're this vaunted team. The Lakers were terrible until they got Davis. And even LeBron was on that team that was terrible. Now they have a good team. But they won one title in a bubble, but everybody treats them like they've won four in a row. They are not as good as everybody thinks they are. And if they were, they wouldn't have finished seventh.
The Sports Grid Network. The early line.
Shane Bieber on the mound, a minus 178 number. You know, we see some of these big numbers, and it's either the Dodgers or it's the best pitchers in the world. Donnie, how often do you find yourself backing an ace like Bieber here today who's going against the Tigers?
One thing the Indians do well here is they can stack right-handed batters, which they will do today against Boyd. Not a bad look on Bieber with that high price today, Kev.
Weekdays, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern on the Sports Grid Network.
Sports professor Rick Carl inside the $1.3 trillion business of sports with your Sports News Minute. Some new information with company Fanapply, an NFT company yet again. Now in hockey, first with Tyler Seguin and the Dallas Stars, then the New Jersey Devils, an entire marketing campaign based on their Made in Jersey campaign started in 1982. The franchise talks about its three Stanley Cup wins, an auction bid to sit in the alumni suite with some illustrious alums from those years. But the NFT are the valuable collectibles on the digital basis that the Devils are looking at. And all over the National Hockey League, we will start that trend and see it, as well as basketball. Remember the Kentucky Derby and this company did the same thing. All sports are continuing to do this. Sports Professor Rick Haro, Sports News Minute.
Welcome back to Betting Around the Rim right here on MSG Plus and all Sports Grid platforms. We left off talking a little bit about the Brooklyn Nets, the unbeatable never to be touched Brooklyn Nets, a Brooklyn Nets team that took a 2-0 lead. And at that point went sub 2-1 to win the NBA championship. Sub 2-1, about plus 185. That's a big move. It's a considerable move. Minus money to win the Eastern Conference. They still hang around that region on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. But then all of a sudden, game number three, to Boston they go. And the vaunted Brooklyn Nets defense, well, shows back up. Allow the Celts to get to 125. Jason Tatum gets to 50. And I wonder if there needs to be a little bit of a pumping of the brakes here on the Brooklyn Nets. The talent is obvious. Nobody questions the talent. But it's about the price. It's about the conversation around this team. I saw some conversation yesterday from folks saying, I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to go 16-2 en route to an NBA championship. Pardon? They're going to go what? To an NBA championship? 16-2. Okay, fine. You think they're going to sweep in round one. They obviously will not, by the way. They're going to lose only twice to a combined lineup of Milwaukee at Philadelphia, and then whomever were to come out of the West, needing to, by the way, have that actually come true, sweep one of either Milwaukee at Philadelphia, and then whomever were to come out of the West, and then five game the other series. I mean, what? What? They've played like hardly double-digit games together. What are we doing here with this Brooklyn Nets team? I know the talent's there. I feel like people, though, have gotten way too ahead of themselves when it comes to this team. Steve Nash said something very interesting after their Game 3 loss about belief. I want to play that for you, and we'll react on the other side.
Steve, I think obviously a lot of people felt like entering tonight, you guys were in complete control of this series. And I'm just curious if you're concerned at all that you gave the Celtics a reason to believe by allowing them to win this game. And if so, why? And if not, why not?
No, I mean, they definitely are going to have belief now. They got to, you know, I got a win at home and we're able to stop the momentum after playing two games in Brooklyn. So, you know, big challenge for us. We got to come out and be sharper, be better at both ends of the floor, and try to slow them down and execute offensively.
You know, it's so interesting there because he's correct. The Celtics, right, with a win, have belief. This isn't about Boston. It's not. You and I both know they're not going to win the NBA championship. It's about the Milwaukee Bucks, who will have all the belief in the world entering a series with the Brooklyn Nets, who they beat in the season series. It's about the Philadelphia 76ers having belief, who also beat the Brooklyn Nets in the season series. Does anybody think whomever comes out of the West, LeBron James and the LA Lakers, or the number one overall seed Utah Jazz, do you think that they would not have belief going against the Brooklyn Nets? Well, if by chance you thought that, you better stop. Because the Celtics right now have some belief within them. Certainly the upper echelon of the league will have belief against the Brooklyn Nets. And if that team is going to continue to be bet on at the rate that they are and find themselves at minus money to win the East or sub $2 to win the NBA title, then I believe that we will be able to find value because I just think it's a little bit ahead of itself. Now, we have to talk about Jason Tatum. We absolutely must. What a performance. What a season for Tatum, especially down the stretch here. I mean, it's overwhelming what he's able to do. And I think the best compliment you could probably give Tatum is that he goes out there, hangs 50, and you're not stunned. You're not like, you won't believe what happened last night. Jason Tatum scored 50. You won't believe what happened last night. Tatum hung 60 in overtime. Like, yeah, I believe it. He has that type of ceiling. Let's listen in a little bit about some of the words with Tatum after that Game 3 victory and tremendous performance from him.
Congratulations, Jason. What did the most important commentator of the night, Deuce, have to say to you just now?
He told me he loved me, and he'll see me later when I get home.
Well, congratulations. You guys have reinserted yourself into this series. What did you like about this team's effort and scrappiness tonight?
Just to give it all we had. Felt good to come back and finally play a playoff game back in TD Garden. It's been a while. So, it was great to be back in front of our fans, try to protect home court.
50 points for you tonight. Now, the youngest players to ever drop 50 in a playoff game are Rick Barry, Michael Jordan, and you. That is the list. You told me this morning that you had been looking at film, looking for ways to get yourself more scoring opportunities. What did you do that worked tonight?
I just tried to be better. I had a tough shooting night the first game. I got poked in my eye the second. I didn't get to play that much. So, trying to redeem myself, try to do anything we can to win.
You've got a runaway here, by the way.
This is his gym.
This is his gym. This is what he gets to do. Now, the Celtics fans, such a big story going into this game, but at least from court level, we saw the best of Boston fans tonight. And you guys will get the whole crew back on Sunday, 17,000 strong in this building. What do you expect that game against the Nets to be like?
Oh, man, I can't wait. It's been a while since we had full capacity. I miss those guys. I'm sure they miss watching us play in person. It's going to be a fun one. So, we got to get ready for the next one.
Good luck to you, and good luck finding Deuce because he's made another break for it.
Thank you.
Back to you.
Deuce out there causing havoc. Credit to the NBA for that audio there. You hear Jason Tatum and the list, Barry, Jordan. I mean, it is so important. But here's the one thing I will tell you with Jason Tatum, who is very clearly sooner than later going to find himself ranked inside the top 10 players in the world. It is the consistency that is going to hold him back. Jason Tatum is tremendous, but at times we're not honest about Jason Tatum. Look at the Game 3 stat line, 16 of 30, 50 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, the best player on the court. On the same court as Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving. But it's not that that's, oh, wow, that was his best game of the series. Jason Tatum was quite literally bad in games 1 and 2. 6 of 20 in game 1. 3 of 12 in game 2. That is going to be the leap for Jason Tatum. But I fully anticipate that he will make that leap, and at some point the Boston Celtics will really be able to compete with the upper echelon, which they're kind of supposed to. They're not there yet. They're dealing with injuries. They always seem to be, but they've got the guy in Jason Tatum, and he will continue to make that leap. Speaking of the leap, whew, Luka Doncic. Wow. This comes around every decade or so, a player like this, maybe even longer in between, maybe 2 decades. Luka Doncic is making a leap, but it is to an entirely different stratosphere. We'll talk about the Don, the Clippers, the other LA team, and of course, the Knicks and the Hawks right here on Betting Around the Rim.
Heart's racing. The clock's running out. It all comes down to this. We're talking pregame. 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 Get locked in with Game Time Decisions. Your hosts, Gabe Morenci and Cam Stewart, will get you ready for game time. Everything you need to know before a game goes off the board, with the bet slips to back it up. Make your your best bet with live odds updates, late breaking news, up-to-the-minute injury reports, and real-time analytics from inside the sportsbooks. All the odds, all the action, from sports wagering insiders and industry pros like Donnie Wrightside, Gam Blue, Cousin Sal, the Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow, and more. Get the winning edge every weekday afternoon from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 4 Pacific. It's game time decisions. Only on Sports Grid.
You hate to pin it on one guy, but goodness gracious, Anthony Davis cannot do what he did. It's completely unacceptable, no. And I don't care if the Andre Drummond minutes, Donnie, are not good for him. He cannot go out there and go 5 of 16, 13 points, and be a game worse, minus 18, against a team that he just hung 42 on and was a plus 26 against. It's an unacceptable start.
Weekdays, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern on the Sports Grid Network.
Pharrell. Coast to coast. Max Holloway and Yair Rodriguez. I love that in July. Let's go.
Yeah, this is a big fight. You know, this is a big step up for Rodriguez, too, because he's 8-1 his time in the UFC. He's beaten a lot of guys. He's highly ranked in that division. His only loss in the UFC is to Frankie Edgar. He does have a nice win over the Korean Zombie, but if he can fight, you know, match up and get a good fight with Holloway, that would put his career on a whole new path and put him in the, you know, the course of getting a title shot here.
The Sports Grid Network. In game live.
I think the number came where it needed to be with him not playing or not being full. You know, we've talked about it how many times. The NBA, that number seven and a half. That's where you go with
the dribble out number.
Yeah, you just don't know. So let's put it there. And now he's going to play. You guys told me during the break he's going to play. He's going to start. He's available. Whatever these terms mean. I need to know in the book, is he okay? So I'm like, all right, where's the bets coming? All right, we better move it down. Or we take a bet at seven, and you see 6.5. I'm with Kush, though. I think this thing could be, I mean, like, you're going to see runs in this game, I think, both ways, right? If he's not right, Phoenix has no motion, movement. Nobody knows what to do. I mean, they got to get transition points.
Catch the program every single day on the Sports Grid Network.
Come on now, let's get right back to it. Betting Around the Rim live here on MSG Plus and all Sports Grid platforms. Who's having more fun than us? Who's having more fun than Luka Doncic? Woo! I mean, what a talent. What a player. And we talked a little bit about Jason Tatum making a leap, right? From a top 20 range player to a top 15 range player, sooner than later, will land himself in the top 10. Luka's been top 10. Year two, boom, all NBA team. No problem. That's a top 10 player in the world. We all knew it. We could see it. Last year in the bubble, a postseason matchup against the Clippers, he was phenomenal. The game winner. You know, in year two, hitting a shot that will follow him for the remainder of his career, be one of the highlights of his career. But he's quite clearly not satisfied with just that. A wild move, of course, from the Clippers to watch Luka do that last season and say, yep, let's play him in round number one. And you all know that that's exactly what happened, but that's obviously the thought process was we just don't want to play LeBron, which, I mean, if you know me, you know I can at least understand that. Here's the thing about Luka and the fact that they were able to win the first two games at the Staples Center. The fact that through three games in the series, Luka Doncic averaging 38 points, 9 assists, 9 rebounds, almost 6 threes a game on 46% shooting from the beyond the arc. This is a leap that is entirely different. This is the type of leap that you look back on it, right? The Dallas Mavericks, if they win this series, while the Clippers will be taken to task, rightfully so, they will have not lost to some ragtag bunch in the Dallas Mavericks, no. They will have lost to top three player in the world, Luka Doncic. They will have lost to future face of the league for a decade plus, Luka Doncic. And now, will that lessen the blow for Clippers fans and backers? I'm not sure. I have a ticket on the Clippers to win the title. As much as I have enjoyed laughing at this team's despair because of the whole, this is my city, and they were going to be LeBron's worst nightmare, this time it's not been as fun because I do have that Clippers ticket. I thought they were going to figure it out. And the series is not over. But what you're seeing from Luka is very important. And I posed the question, I've asked it on Twitter, I asked our great group behind the scenes here, when we enter next season, Luka Doncic, where will he rank amongst the best players in the NBA? I mean, where, when you're doing your 1, 2, 3, 4, the best, you know, 100 players in the league, over under 4.5, Luka Doncic. Will he just miss out on top four? Is he bang four? Well, I'll tell you this, he's going to move ahead of Kawhi if they win this series. No doubt about it in my mind. If the Brooklyn Nets do anything other than win the title, I would say that whole group is vulnerable in this discussion. Steph Curry off of a top three MVP finish, he'll be in that mix, but maybe missing the playoffs. Luka, okay, some love there. Jokic, Embiid, bigs are always difficult to figure out what you want to do with lists like that. They're going to be in the conversation, but I think you could certainly make the call that you'd rather have Luka. I think Luka versus Giannis is fascinating because there's not a single thing about Luka and his game that makes you hesitate when you enter the postseason in a way that we perhaps do when it comes to Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks. And then there's one more name. There's one more name. And it's LeBron. And LeBron would be entering year 19. And I understand. He can't still possibly be ahead of Luka Doncic. It depends. If he goes out there and wins finals MVP again, he'll be ahead of everybody. Again, for nearly two decades straight, he'll remain in that spot. But the fact that we're having this conversation in a year three player, it shows how valuable he is. He was the preseason MVP favorite. He might be the preseason MVP favorite for like five straight years. That's how good Luka Doncic is. And again, if you're the Clippers, does that salvage this start to the series at all for you? No, it does not. Kawhi Leonard is an impending free agent. He has a player option. He'll decline it because player options are built to be declined. And then we'll see. He'll probably, if again they're unable to come back against this team, either have them move on from Paul George, or he himself will peace out and say, you know what, I chose a loser organization. I don't say that to be mean. I don't. They just, as an organization, can't seemingly cross that threshold. There is no team that has more on the line than the Los Angeles Clippers. Not one. Not one of them. The Brooklyn Nets, if they fall short, they will simply say, it's okay, it's year one, we can figure this out. If the Lakers fall short, it wasn't meant to be. We won last year, we were banged up all season long, we'll be fine next year. The Sixers have a lot. It feels like they could maybe make some drastic changes. But year one of Doc, they're still all incredibly young. The Bucks signed Giannis to a 5-year deal, so there's nothing to worry about there if things go left. They're fine. The Jazz, as if the Jazz are going to hit a panic button if they don't win a title or at least make it to the finals. No. But the Clippers, especially around what exit? There is no coming back. There is no coming back from that if you are the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, I want to transition from Luka to his fellow draft classmate and player he will often be linked to in Trae Young. Kind of traded for one another on draft night. Obviously, there were some extra picks there involved. And all in all, Luka certainly the better player. But Trae Young, certainly a star in his own right. And what a start to the Trae Young postseason career. The game winner in game one. becoming the villain in the garden. It's all so delightful to watch. Stepping up to the atmosphere, that's what you want to see from these guys. Tatum, Luka, Trae Young. Think about what we're talking about here. 25 and under guys that are going to be staples in this league for a decade plus. What a delightful sight that is for us as fans and for us as bettors, right? Who's going to win that title first? Luka Doncic, you'd probably bet on that. But Tatum and the Celtics, you know, be hanging around. Trae Young and this Hawks team, and they continue to put resources behind that group. At some point, they'll get there. But I know the Knicks faithful hope that they will not be able to at least even get to the second round. And here's the thing with the Knicks in this series. It's been a really interesting first three games because the Knicks have been competitive. I know game three, maybe not as competitive as the first two, but the Knicks, it feels like they're right there. And that is in spite of a less than stellar performance from Julius Randle to start this series. And I think if you're the Knicks and you ask yourself, you know, what are the adjustments? What has gone wrong for us? And not just in the short term of this series, but in the long term. Where can we improve? Where do we find ourselves entering that next level? And I would say that it's just going to come with time. Julius Randle's 26. It's his playoff debut. Don't panic. Julius Randle's going to make an All-NBA team this year. He is excellent. RJ Barrett is in year three. These are all reps that will be put under the belt, and these guys will be better off for. I know Knicks fans want this series badly, and it's still obtainable. But I would not transition this to, oh, a wasteful season. Nothing of the sort. This has been a tremendous season. You go through it. 1 through 30, you grade these seasons out. Whoever wins the title, A+. A trip to the finals, probably lands you an A. I mean, the Knicks are probably going to be no worse than third in terms of what they have achieved this season. How could they be? They had the longest odds to win the title preseason. They get up to the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. Tom Thibodeau, a finalist for Coach of the Year. Julius Randle, the winner for Most Improved. Incredibly deserved, by the way. Incredibly deserved. And here is the biggest thing that I believe the Knicks have done during this season. And it is put this organization in the right frame, the frame at which they belong. That is exactly what they have done. We know it has been a difficult 7 or 8 years for this Knicks team and this Knicks organization. Some things that, you know, they were not able to get right. Some bad luck along the way. Some tough seasons. The lottery balls never seemingly landing their way. But they have truly turned the corner as an organization. And as a New Yorker, that is a beautiful thing to see. And as made quite obvious by the Knicks faithful, they greatly appreciate it. They will continue to show up in droves for this team. They will continue to support this team. And I think Thibs is going to be here for a while. I think Randle is a franchise cornerstone. And I do not think they are done just yet. A lot more fight in that New York Knicks team. Okay, we're coming up against the break. We come back. Rick Harrow joins the show. Talk a little bit about what's going on in the sports business world with Rick Harrow right after this quick break. Come on back. It's Betting Around.
From the City of Angels to the Big Apple, Shake It Up with Pharrell Coast to Coast.
Shake it up, should do that. All my friends then come around, flat to party.
With your host, the one and only Scott Pharrell.
Coast to coast in the biggest way possible. Hang. Covering every sport, every league, every single weekday. And Scott's got an opinion on all.
Get that guy a cold beer. I mean, that he's telling it exactly like it is.
Jump on the Coast to Coast bandwagon with America's most engaging sports personalities.
We all love to bet on everything.
Regular contributors, including NFL insider Adam Kaplan, the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, NBA Radio's Rick Kamla, Bleacher Report MLB insider Scott Miller, the sports professor Rick Haro, USA Today's Bob Nightingale.
Every game, every story, every injury, everything you need to know.
Join the Pharrell Coast to Coast party every weekday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 1 to 3 Pacific, only on Sports Grid.
The Early Line.
I wanted to bring it up, though, Donnie, to ask you about your feelings on betting doubleheaders, which was, I think, always kind of a tricky thing to do under the old set of circumstances. But now bettors probably still getting adjusted to the fact that these are 7-inning games. Like, you see those totals, you go, whoa, look at that. That's such a low number. You have to be reminded, oh, wow, this is only a 7-inning game here.
Very rare for me. And the reason I say that is not because I don't like the pitching matchup or the hitters or the weather situations. It's about what fits your eye frame and how it makes sense to you as a sports gambler. When we take a look at a normal 9-inning game, you know the starting pitcher is probably going to go 5 to 6 innings, unless he gets banged around in the first 2 to 3 innings and exits. You know your closer's probably coming in the 9th inning, but you have a couple setup guys. You see the 6th inning guy, Kevin, not as good as the 7th guy. The 7th inning guy, not as good as the 8th inning guy. But when you have a 7-inning doubleheader, it's all about the pitcher.
Weekdays, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern on the Sports Grid Network.
The morning after.
I think there's a very intriguing market right now on FanDuel for this French Open. It's for the favorite or whoever you think will win the crown on the men's or women's side.
In his first round, Nadal, he's playing against a player named Alexei Poprin. And though he should win, I would think that he does win 6-3, 6-3, maybe 6-3. But all it takes is for him to come in maybe a little nervous, a little rusty. And we have seen that him do that.
The Sports Grid Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
My guess is that Blake Jarwin, comes back and is the lead tight end. Because if you look at Schultz's career, before last season, he had 13 receptions total. This was just not a guy, you know, who got a ton of volume. So I think it's probably Jarwin. But the answer is that both of these guys probably have a little bit of fantasy value, and they go in the last round of your draft. You don't have to pay anything to get them.
The Sports Grid Network.
Welcome back to Betting Around the Rim right here on MSG Plus and all Sports Grid platforms. I'm Kevin Walsh stepping in for Keith Irizarry. We're now joined by Rick Haro, the sports professor and Sports Grid sports business analyst. Rick, always in different places. You seem to be, though, touchdown in the home base. How's it going, man?
Touchdown in the home base for 3 days of golf, a little bit of tennis. Going to head down and watch the Miami Heat. Might be the last game you get to see, by the way, and got to make up for lost time. I'm going to ask for the Sports Grid helicopter to bail me out and send me down South Florida. I got one comment for you, which is really important. By the way, relative to what you think I might be wearing below this, we're not going to talk about that. But I will tell you, I do think we need to study over the next pandemic comeback the relative purchases of jackets versus suits and pants by television people over the last year and a half. It would be a very interesting dynamic because I know for a fact you probably don't wear a whole lot of different clothes unless you're mandated by Cardano to do it. So it would be a very interesting conversation to have. What do you think?
I don't know. We'll have to run it up the board to MC. So I want to get into some of the big news around the basketball world with you, Rick. And the first thing, and we talked about this to start our show, attendance back in the NBA, the capacity rising. Before we even kind of get to the logistics of it all, Rick, how nice has it been to see a place like Madison Square Garden rocking with a full crowd in the way that it has been?
It's amazing. And what about Barclays? You know, and it's come to this, as you know, now that we have 40, 50, 60, 80% capacity limits and everybody's lifting as they want to and as they should. You've got LA folks, we won't talk about who it is because we might get in trouble, talking about, well, it's not fair because back east, there's home court advantage and it's real. Over here, we have limitations. A, it's safety-based, not fan-based. And B, if you're going to complain about home court advantage, then win your regular season series and get a higher standing. That's all I got to say. But it is dynamic to realize that this is symbolic well more than just people congregating. New York fans, as you know, are loud anyway, but put them in a capacity situation with the New York Knicks coming out of their 50-year shell for the first time since Willis Reed. It is incredible. And then you see the guys cross town who may be the NBA favorites. It is certainly good for the NBA. And then this is not that show, but how about all the NHL standings, excitement, passion? Incredible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Rick, the early returns here from an effectiveness standpoint, right? Because obviously different protocols for these buildings. And of course, you know, revenue. We know that this is important. This is something that they missed out on last year, the ability to sell tickets to their loyal fans.
Well, listen, the returns will depend on the recouping of the dollars that were lost from last year. That'll be fine. But the future planning is even more important. Study done by SeatGeek and others talk about 2022 arena operations. And they said for NBA and NHL controlled arenas, they're going to have 200 events a year generally versus maybe half that pre-pandemic. Why? Concerts, boxing, Globetrotters, they're all kind of making up for lost time. So they're having two shows in each arena when they could have had one. You're charging a little bit more. And also, this is high revenue for these teams and these arenas. And then think about $100,000 a date for a concert in those arenas. And how about stadiums, the U2 kinds of concerts at big stadiums? That's $1 million an event that you didn't have, but you're going to have next year.
And Rick, you always do a great job talking about the evolution of sports and sports betting. And I feel like we're starting to see more of these betting simulcasts. I was watching the other day, TNT, powered by the FanDuel Sportsbook, bet stream with the Lakers and the Suns game. Sports Grid's own Ariel Epstein was a part of that, which was awesome to see. And this seems to be like something that through the years is going to become more and more popular.
Well, when you take a look at, we'll talk about Amazon and what they're doing. Just look, it's back to the future. When I was growing up and you weren't contemplated yet, there were four networks, right? And maybe ESPN. And then we got to 5,000 stations. Now, NBC and Peacock and CBS and Paramount and Disney and ABC, everybody's gobbling everybody else up. The Discovery deal that just happened. And you're paying $4, 5, 6 billion for each. Streaming, simultaneous betting, mobile, in-arena opportunities. We may be very soon looking at 5, 6 mega networks. FanDuel, obviously, right in the middle of all of that, thankfully, one of the reasons why we're here. And it becomes limited umbrella choices, but mega choices within each umbrella.
Yeah, awesome stuff. You mentioned streaming. Amazon and the WNBA have announced a multi-year deal that are going to see some games streamed live on Prime Video, as well as a new documentary. What can you tell us about this, Rick?
Millions of dollars, very important to the WNBA. WNBA documentary about the history of the league, women's sports, women's rights. It's a much bigger issue than just watching the WNBA. Cynics, by the way, you ought to shut up and watch, because I would rather watch the WNBA players play offensive patterns and play defense than NBA players during the regular season, just saying. And so when you think about the dynamics of, you have the opportunity now to stream and see all of that everywhere, it's a good thing for everybody.
And I know I talked to you about this last week, Rick. It really appears, and I don't know if it's because I'm New York-based, but Sabrina Ionescu of the New York Liberty does seem to be generating more star power than any recent WNBA player. this early. You know, she's now with the State Farm commercials with Chris Paul, and that's great because that's eyeballs. And that, who's that? Oh, I want to watch. And that's an excellent, excellent thing to see. You know, Sabrina recently out of college, of course. Rick, some important updates coming out of the college game around name, image, and likeness. What's happening on the college front, Rick?
Good example, good segue, because she is the classic case of what Oregon, what the school would have been able to do had the NIL, name, image, and likeness issue been in place. Now, Alston versus the NCAA, Supreme Court decision, that'll come. That'll define. The Power Five will then redefine. Everybody else will fall into place. But sooner or later, sooner now, you're going to have the parameters, the structure. You're going to have superstars who will then bring more money to schools. Let's not get in a bidding war, hopefully, but there is an opportunity to develop this. More money for everybody, corporations interested, agents involved in a constructive way, and it all feeds on itself. So I think it's a good example. It's going to be better for women's sports. It's going to be better for everybody. And, you know, your New York Liberty and everybody else as far as New York sports is a beneficiary as well. By the way, I didn't know you're from New York. You only mentioned it like I didn't know you're from New York. You only mentioned it like 13 times in a minute and a half. So good for you.
I mean, it's, it also just kind of comes off too, doesn't it, Rick?
It's obvious.
You know, Rick, this has been such an important topic throughout sports for years, and I know you have a ton of experience, you know, as a lawyer with your background. I'm curious, has this issue has grown over the years, right? How have you watched this develop? And where do you land on this ultimately? Because for me on the outside, and I understand, and I fully, like, you understand the ins and outs of this far better than I do. This seems like a no-brainer. This seems obvious. What is your feelings around the NIL and this, you know, situation here with the players and the NCAA?
If you were to make the bold statement, college athletes should be paid. Sure, why not? And if a ball drops, gravity will send it to the floor, and we all like Christmas, and Will Ferrell was the best actor ever. I mean, there's certain truisms. But then when you think about what to do as far as the implications of all of that, the devil is in the details. How do you funnel the dollars down to the sports that are not basketball and football? How do you create environments where the SEC doesn't gobble up everybody? For example, it was ironic but not unexpected that the five states that have passed NIL stuff ahead of everybody else, four of them are SEC-laden states. So, you know, how are you going to control all of that? And how do you funnel dollars for the athletic programs as well as the athletes and all sports? So, again, it's not the concept, it's the details.
And then, Rick, I guess trying to, because the pros of it all seem obvious for the individuals then to recognize their worth, right? You know, I think back to when Zion was at Duke. I mean, I know him going to Duke took it to another level. Quite frankly, he could have gone to my alma mater, Iona, and been the biggest star in the sport. There were obviously dollars left on the table. Is the downside to this something, though, that you've perhaps been hinting at, the idea that we could get, you know, what we saw with soccer, the Super League, and that all of a sudden, the just the nature of college basketball and college football and college sports in general would have a massive shift?
I'm not going to single Iona out personally, and it's not specific other than a hypothetical. So listen, Iona is New York market. So if they had the ability to capture NIL just for them, sky would have been the limit. And maybe Zion would have had an opportunity to make X million dollars before he even went to school as a condition of going there. Those temptations should not exist. Now, how do you structure it? What do you do with it? Those are the details you got to worry about. And let's use Zion Williamson again. If he were playing when NIL and Duke were you know, as part of the whole process, you'd make sure Coach K would, but you're not sure other schools might, that the money brought in because of that draft of him, so to speak, the wind behind him, could benefit Duke's lacrosse program, their swimming, all of their programs that are beyond just basketball. And that's hard to do, especially for schools who are primarily basketball and football schools. So, of course, NIL needs to be done. Needed to be done years ago. When the Supreme Court makes its ruling, everybody falls into line. May, 2 years ago, when the Supreme Court made its gambling ruling, look how quickly it happened for 40 states, and then FanDuel, and then everybody else. So we're going to see that as well. And the good thing is, as a lawyer, it's going to give lawyers more work, and we're all for giving lawyers more work.
Excellent stuff. Rick, before we let you go, what do you have coming up this week?
Yeah, we got some interesting stuff. We're going to do a comeback series as part of a Foley law firm sponsored deal. It's every second Wednesday. And we're using some of the folks as part of my overall shows here. But Gary Bettman, Fred Ridley, the chairman of Augusta National, and Angela Ruggiero, who's a Hall of Fame hockey player, gold medalist for the women's hockey team in the U.S., are all together to talk about the comeback, where it's going, where it's been, how we're doing it. That's part of my night job. My day job is firmly committed to the future of Sports Grid.
Tremendous, tremendous stuff. Rick, best of luck to you getting that helicopter to take you where you need to go. Best of luck getting some of those golf rounds going. I appreciate you were able to put the clubs down for a couple of moments and hang out with us here on Betting Around the Rim. Good to go?
Yeah, hurry up, though, because I'm ready to go to my tea time. So goodbye.
You got it. That's the sports professor, Rick Haro, Sports Grid sports business analyst. Follow him on Twitter, at Rick Haro. Excellent stuff. As always, we take a break. We come right back here on Betting Around the Rim, and we'll be up against the clock. We'll be right back. Keep it locked.
How are they going to deal with this monster Ja Morant? I mean, this guy went off last night like I've never seen anything like it. He has just exploded onto the NBA the last couple years, and now he means business.
I do think you're going to see them kind of try and handle pick and rolls a little bit differently. I think you're going to see them going over him a lot more often, kind of daring him to shoot three. The problem that they don't, you know, they want to try to avoid is like getting over committed to one particular way of going at him, because they feel like he's smart enough to recognize that and adjust to it. So I think initially we'll see them, you know, kind of shifting their coverage around a little bit to stay a little more connected and to keep him behind the three-point line and dare him to beat him that way.
The Sports Grid Network. Fantasy Sports
the
Today.
Clippers brass made the decision to trade 7 first round picks in total to set up this team. And if they lose this series to the Mavericks, which definitely looks precarious to say the least, I think we'll see some huge landscape changes around the NBA. If your best players are not making shots, you can't win games. The second year in a row of the Clippers in the playoffs of these guys not making shots.
The Sports Grid Network.
The Pat McAfee Show.
Spike was losing his mind. I mean, most Knicks thing of all time to have that environment. We're back in the playoffs. How you doing? Keep moving. And then have a dagger take their soul out at the end in the name of Trae Young. But that was awesome. I am not a noted Knicks fan or Hawks fan or really going to be glued to my TV for anything NBA. The environment in MSG yesterday was worth the watch. That was awesome.
The Sports Grid Network. In game live.
Who is liable to maybe soak up some of the usage that would be from Chris Paul?
Maybe Ayton, just to continue to get the looks and get the ball. I mean, at this point, there has to be, we know that Chris Paul's hurt, right? So I think you got to have a different maybe method of getting there.
Catch the program every single day on the Sports Grid Network.
We salute the brave and courageous women and men serving in the United States military, protecting our freedom. Please take time this Memorial Day weekend to honor the memory and sacrifice of our military veterans and their loving families, and those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in their service to our nation.
Right here on BATR, betting around the rim to close out hour number one. We're up against the clock. All right, question number one. Who is your playoffs MVP so far? Of course, these all coming from the Koski. Great first question. It feels like it has to be Luka Doncic, right? Like, it has to be Luka Doncic. Kawhi, Paul George, supposed to be two of the best perimeter defenders in the world, and he's just 38-9-9, no problem. It feels like prime LeBron stuff. I absolutely love it. Tremendous stuff. We move on. Question number two. Should the Pelicans move on from Stan Van Gundy? It's a big question. It's an important question. I mean, we're talking about Zion Williamson here, right? And the future, one of the future faces of this league in Zion, SVG's first season was not ideal. But I'd like to think he can figure it out. Maybe you give SVG one more season. We keep it pushing. Question number three. Did Brad Stevens save his job by not getting swept by Brooklyn? Great question. Great question. It certainly helped. It certainly did help. He can now hang his hat on the fact that they were not swept. But what a weird thing this has been for Boston, right? Like, oh, they're supposed to win the East, and then they lose. And then we're like, yeah, but what were they really supposed to do? Does he also want to be there? Very, very odd. I don't think if he leaves, it's on his own terms. We move forward. Will the Knicks win another game this series versus ATL? I believe in the Knicks. I truly, truly do. I think that is going to be a long series. I say yes. How about question number five? If the Clippers don't advance deep into the playoffs, will Kawhi leave this offseason? Ooh, boy. Are things heating up in Los Angeles? If they do not advance deep into the playoffs, I think Kawhi stays. I think Paul George finds himself playing ball elsewhere. That's up against the clock. That's hour number one. Keep it right here, though. We'll be back with more betting around the rim.